And today, our Sunday math circle will be led by Henry Orham, who's a graduate student in the math department here at UT. He's going to be talking to us about roots and symmetry.
Hello, everyone. Like Karen said, I'm a fourth-year grad student here in the math department. And today I'd like to talk about the relationship between two things in math. On the one hand, symmetries of shapes, and on the other hand, roots of polynomials. We'll go through each of those independently and then put them together. But it's an example of, my favorite thing in math, when there's hidden structure, and there's something that you already know about, and there's some underlying hidden structure that you didn't know was there, and once you discover it, you can do a lot of new things. So the first thing I want to talk about is the question of, what is symmetry? Does anyone, what do you think of when you think of symmetry? Like, what is symmetry? Anyone have a suggestion? Go ahead.
Something on one side that looks the same when flipped over any axis.
Great. So something like, something like mirror reflection. I think that sounds like what you have in mind?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, human bodies, right? We have this sort of symmetry. If you imagine you put a mirror right down the middle of your body, then you look at the left side of your body, the right side is basically what you would see in the mirror, right? Anything else that people have in mind? And this is exactly the sort of thing we usually think of by the word symmetry, but I want to include a little bit more in that word for today. So let's talk about, let's say, more things. Let's talk about an example. What are the symmetries of a triangle? Okay, so by that, what I'm going to mean is, I imagine picking up this triangle, and I can juggle it around, I can rotate it, flip it, do anything I want, and then put it back down in the same spot. So a symmetry is any operation like that. So for example, so I can picture this, I'll label the corners of the triangle, consistent, A, B, and C. And, well, if I want to pick this up and play with it and throw it and put it back down, what's one thing I could do? Yeah, I could rotate. So let's say, rotate clockwise. Had the hardest time remembering which is which. I would get this, right? If I pick up this triangle, rotate it like this, C moves up here, A moves down here, and B moves over here, right? What's another thing I could do? Go ahead.
Rotate counterclockwise.
I could have rotated in the other direction. Say, counterclockwise, then B would move up here, A would move down here, so I would have B, A, C. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. I could take this thing, I could pick it up and flip it, let's say, across here. So I have, I can imagine putting a mirror along this axis here and flipping the whole thing. Pick it up, flip it, get C here and A here, and B didn't move, right? That's very different from the rotations where everybody moved here. B didn't move. I'll call this flip. And any other suggestions? Go ahead. What do you have in mind?
We could flip it over line CB so it looks like, hang on, let me go up and draw it on the board. No. I need to go up and draw it.
Oh, you want to flip it across this line?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a great thought. Here, let's picture, I think what you're saying is, let's flip across the line between C and B. If I do that, I would see this shape, right? And that's a great operation, but for purposes of today, what I mean by a symmetry, I want to put this shape back exactly where it was. So you see this? I'm not going to call that a symmetry for today, but it's certainly a fine operation. Let me suggest something else. I could flip and then rotate, right? I could pick this thing up and flip it and then turn it, let's say, clockwise. Let's see, what would I get then? da-da-da. Okay, so here I rotated. And let's say I could do that one more time. Dun, dun, dun. B, A, C. Okay. So there are six things up here. I could do nothing, rotate, rotate, or flip, and rotate, and rotate. And so I claim these are all six symmetries of the triangle. There are exactly six symmetries of the triangle, and here they are. Are people okay? Do people have some idea what I mean by a symmetry in this picture?
Yep.
Good. Okay, so let's take it up one step in complexity. Let's think about symmetries of a square for a second. And again, if I want to picture this, if I want to keep track of what I'm doing, I'll label the corners. And here, if you think about, I got six symmetries of the triangle, I could rearrange the vertices in a ton of just every different way. I could rearrange the corners. Here, well, one thing that I could certainly do, I could rotate by 90 degrees this time. This is one thing I could do. Let me point out, there's something that I definitely can't do right here. Why does this not make sense? Why is this not a symmetry of that shape? Go ahead, down here. Yeah, so like if I wanted to get this from this, starting from the square here, what would I have to, I'd have to take these two corners and tear them off and switch them and then put it back together. Right? So by symmetry, I mean, I don't want to break my shape. I'm allowed to pick it up and juggle it, but I don't want to tear it to pieces and then reassemble it. So this is no good. Say no tearing. But so here is one fine symmetry. So now let me ask you a couple of questions and we'll think about them together in groups for a few minutes. First, why are there no other triangle symmetries? So I told you, we wrote down six of them. You can see they're all different. But you might ask, are there any others? Did we miss any? So one question is, why is this all of them? I'm telling you, this is all of them. And the other question is, can you figure out what are all of the symmetries of the square? So how many are there, and can you write them down? And let's see, if I write much lower, people can't see. Let me ask you a third. In case you finish these two questions, here's something fun you could think about. What are symmetries of this shape? This is a four-sided solid. Tetrahedron, that's the name. So it's a four-sided shape. It's kind of a pyramid, four triangles glued together. This, again, I can pick this shape up and rotate it, flip it, do various things to it, and then put it back in the same spot. So if you finish these two questions, go ahead and think about what are the symmetries of the tetrahedron. All right, let's go ahead and think about those questions together, and let us know if you have any questions you'd like to talk about. And by the way, talking to each other is heavily encouraged. It's the only way to do math, I promise. Am I still on the loudspeakers right now? Or am I actually not on speakers at all? Okay, I'll ask. If I'm walking around and talking to people, am I talking into... Is that fine?
Maybe this will probably pick up on it.
Okay, but that's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
but then there'd also be bisexual.
How's it going? Don't feel you have to do them in order if one sounds more fun than another.
What?
Don't feel you have to do the questions in order if one sounds more fun than another.
Okay.
Do you have any thoughts on why there might not be any other triangle stuff?
My first thought is just analyzing kind of triangle as and having as being able to have a name. A, B, or C, so number of possibilities would be 3 factorial or 6.
That's exactly it.
But if we went by that rule for the square, and so the so there are 4 points, so the factorial 4 is 24. But some of those possibilities you'd have to care to get to. So they
perfect. So what you told me here, I think, is that there are at most 6 symmetries of a triangle by your factorial argument, which is perfect. And here we've written down there are 6. And what you're telling me now is, okay, well, you know there are at most 24, but there might be fewer. That's exactly the right line of reasoning. How's it going?
Get some papers, please. They're outside.
Oh.
Grab some papers.
I see good things happening, so I can leave you to it. Oh. How's it going? Did you get here late? Can I catch you up a little bit? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we're just talking about what are the symmetries of a triangle? Is the first thing we're talking about. What do I mean by that? I mean I'm going to pick up the triangle, juggle it around, rotate, flip, whatever, and put it back down. And so I've written down 6 ways you can do that. Rotate, rotate, flip, and rotate. So you might think that maybe there are other ones, like maybe there's something else I could have done to the triangle. And so one question is, why is this all of them? I'm telling you this is all of the symmetries of the triangle. So you might ask, well, why is this all of them? And then you also might ask, what are the symmetries of the square? So I've written down one thing you can do, like you rotate 90 degrees. And I've pointed out something that you definitely can't do. So I can't only flip the top 2 corners without flipping the bottom 2, right? That would involve tearing apart the square and putting it back. And that's not what I want to call a symmetry. Okay. So then the second question is, can you find all the symmetries of the square? How many are there? Can you write them down in the same way?
The square.
And then you say change the order. So each face could be like...
There's A, B, C, D, but you can't really make it A, D, C.
And then there's 6
coordinations. You're saying each...
Right.
Changing the triangle.
Right. I'd have to tear it apart and put it back together. Yeah. Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So then I'd say that you still have... So you still multiply the amount of corners by 2.
I'm a little worried.
How's it going?
Good. For question number 2, you're just asking for the how many rotations and how many flips you can do.
Yeah.
And then how many? Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. How's it going?
We just got here.
Oh, okay. So can I catch you up? Or?
Yes, please.
Okay.
And listen, please.
Okay. So I just mean. So the first question is, okay, like, what do I mean by symmetries of a triangle? Let's say, so I want to imagine picking up this shape, juggling it around, I can rotate it, flip it, anything, and then put it back in the same spot. So that's what I mean by symmetries of a triangle. The question is, how many are there? And well, here, we've written down 6 things I can do. I can start with the triangle like that, labeled the corners, so we keep track. I can rotate and rotate again, or I can flip it and rotate and rotate. Okay? So these are 6 different things. You can see the labels are different in each of them. So there are 6 different things I can do here. And so the question is like, so I'm telling you these are actually all of the symmetries of the triangle. And so one question, the first question up there is, why are there no others? Like you might do something else. You might flip across a different line or something. And why is that already on this? So that's one question. The second is, what are the symmetries of a square? Right, I've written down a list of things for a triangle. You could try to do this for a square too. Is there, I've drawn one thing you can do. You can pick it up and rotate it. And I've drawn something you definitely can't do. Right. If I have a square, I can't flip these top 2 corners and not move the bottom two. Right, to do that, I have to tear the square apart and flip these two corners. So there's something that some things that are definitely not allowed. So the question is, okay,
symmetry is not just from a point of view of the shape, but also from the point of view of the vertices.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, so I mean, by a symmetry of a shape, I really just mean, imagine picking it up, juggling, and putting it back down in the same spot. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. The labels are just to keep track of what I've done. Right. So then the second question is, can you figure out, this is all six symmetries of the triangle, can you figure out how many symmetries of the square are there, and what are they? How's it going?
She asked me the question, and I think I figured it
out. Okay. So you're writing down symmetries of a square?
Mm-hmm.
And you have some rotations? Great. So you have four rotations. Do you think there's anything else you can do? Okay. So you have, I think, you definitely have all the rotations. But if you look at the triangle over here, there's something else. What's the other thing we could do? Do you see the other thing? Nope. See, the top row is rotating the thing. What happened in the bottom row? You see, I put a mirror through the triangle. I picked it up and flipped it upside down. Like, if they were atop of the triangle, that top would be facing the bottom now. You see, so there's this extra thing that I can cook up. I can flip a triangle upside down. That's not a rotation. You can see it's not a rotation, right?
Yeah.
Because if I rotate, yeah, okay, great. So now, do you think you can do that with a square also?
Well, you could, but it would be the same.
So imagine if I put a dotted line, say, diagonally through the square. I can pick it up and flip it like that. Right? That would not move A and C. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
But it would switch B and D.
Yeah.
Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Is that symmetry? How's it going?
So, we figured, it's a factorial of corners, right?
Right.
But in this case, what does it mean? You can easily get a few. This is the top view, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can easily rotate and get three of them,
rotating
each point by one.
Yep.
How do you get
the...
Hi. Where do you sign in?
There's a sign in.
Sign in.
There's a sign in sheet just outside. On one of the tables.
Okay.
It should be. If it's not there, then one of these people will find it during the break, and you cannot worry.
Can you let us know what we missed?
Yeah, absolutely. If you find a seat, and I'll be right over.
I'll sign in.
Okay, good.
So you get three of these, right? With A, you get, we think there should be 24 also.
Yep.
Because they have 4 points.
Right.
But we are trying to figure out, three of these are good, right? Because you can rotate. Where do the other three come from?
Ah, I see. Great. Okay, so if I understand what you're saying, I have this tetrahedron, I can put a vertical thing through and rotate, so I get three things. But I could have also, you know, I can pick any vertex and rotate around that line, right? To the top, so there are three rotations and four corners you could have picked. So that's 12, right?
That's what you were thinking.
Yeah. So there are actually 24 total.
Right.
Do you have any guesses for where the others are? So what happened in all of these? And for the triangle, there were three rotations. How did I get the other three? Yeah, so there are three kind of simple rotation things. And the same thing will be true for a square. The rest of them come from some sort of like inverting things. And this is exactly the same sort of thing if you imagine putting a mirror through this guy somewhere. Do that, and then all your rotations. That'll get you the other 12 for a total of 24.
Yeah.
Hi. So you just got here, right? That was the... Okay, great. So we were just talking about what are symmetries of a triangle. Well, I want to mean anything where I pick up this triangle, juggle it around, flip or rotate, things like that, and then put it back in the same spot. Okay, so you can see here, I can rotate it and rotate it again, or flip it and rotate it and rotate it. Now, you might imagine there are other things you could also do, but my claim is that this is actually all six of them. So one question is, why are there no other things you can do to the triangle? Why is this everything that's possible? The second question is, okay, now symmetries of a square. There's some things you can think to do. I've drawn one of them. I can pick it up and rotate it. That's there. There's something I definitely can't do, which is flip the top two corners without flipping the bottom two. Right, to do that, I'd have to tear it to pieces and then reassemble it. I don't want to call that a symmetry of the square. So the second question is, well, can you write down all of the others? What are all the symmetries of the square? And that's what we're talking about right now. And they should have paper for you somewhere if you want. Maybe it's just outside, I'm not sure. All right, so let's come back together for a second. So can anyone tell me, Rick, why are there no other symmetries of the triangle? Why is this all of them? Go ahead.
Well, it's like this. You can rotate the triangle three times, mm-hmm. and then you can flip it. And then you can rotate that three times.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why they all... If you flip it on another one for the original triangle, they're all essentially just rotations of the flips.
Yeah, so you're noticing that if I instead flipped across the right, I flipped through this line. If I'd flipped through this line instead, that's actually already on my list. It is somewhere. Down there. Okay, good. But so how can you guarantee that nothing else will get me something new? Well, so maybe let me just say very briefly, someone had this answer when I talked to them. If I didn't restrict that you can't tear apart the triangle, if I said, go ahead, tear apart the triangle and reassemble it, how many things could you do? Well, I could tear it apart, so I have nothing. And then I have these things, A, B, C, the corners to put back in. I can put something here, and I have three corners. Once I've done that, I have two corners left. I'll just put one of them here. And then I only have one corner left to put here. So I had three choices, and then two choices, and then one choice. So that'll give me six. So let's just say this is a guarantee that there are only six possible things you could have done, even if I've said, go ahead, tear apart the triangle. Okay, so how many did you find for the square? Anyone? How many total symmetries does the square have?
Eight.
Yeah, there are eight. So, and you can find them all in the same way as for the triangle. I rotated once, and I got this. I can rotate again. And now I can rotate a fourth time. Or I could have flipped. AC, DB. And then, so maybe I won't write them all down, but I could flip and then rotate 3 times. And this gives me 8 things. Rotate, 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 or flip, then rotate, rotate, rotate. And the claim is this is actually all of them for the square. Go ahead.
Well, the proof you did for the triangle for this square situation.
That's exactly right, yeah. My argument here, we got all 6 possible things. But right here I pointed out there's something that isn't possible to get. So you might have just said if I tear it apart, well, I have 4 choices for one corner, then 3 choices left, then 2, then 1. 4 times 3 times 2 times 1 is 24. But this 24 includes tearing apart the square and reassembling it. So there are some things that can't happen here. Okay, so let's see. Great. By the way, let me ask. Oh, yeah, okay. So this has already led to the next question that I wanted to ask you, which is, what are symmetries of, if I just write down this object, what are symmetries of this object? Well, how many, go ahead, how many symmetries do you think there are? Well, so those are things that I already had for the square, right? How is this different? Go ahead. How is this different?
It's a rectangle.
So I think people are having a great idea, which is that everything that I did to the square, all 8 things, I could also do just to 4 points. But when I draw this, what are symmetries of 4 points? Go ahead. You have an idea?
You can kind of tear.
Yeah, exactly right. Here, if I just label this A, B, C, D, I don't have edges anymore. So if I pick these points up and juggle them, I'm not breaking anything if I do this, which was not allowed for the square, right? So that here, by exactly this counting argument, I could put any of my 4 corners back and then 3, then 2, then 1. There will be 24 of these guys. And the point that I want to make, and this will be useful later, this is something called Cayley's theorem. If I have symmetries of some object, that always lives inside. There's always this thing, it's called the symmetric group. It's just the symmetries of points with no restrictions whatsoever. Symmetries of just juggling points with no conditions. And symmetries of a shape with 4 corners, I always think of as living inside this bigger set of symmetries. So first of all, I want to point out that symmetries of one object can live inside symmetries of another object. And secondly, I want to point out that symmetries of something always live inside some kind of a universal guy, this symmetric group. Because everything lives inside some sort of rearrangements of points. Okay, so let's take just a little bit more time for 2 more questions about playing with symmetries. One is the same question as before. If you haven't had a chance to think about symmetries of the tetrahedron, see if you can count them and figure out what they are. And a second question is, can you write down let's see, can I draw a cube? Can you write down the symmetries of a cube? And let me give you a hint right here. There are an awful lot of corners. There are 8 corners, so it seems like there's a ton of choices. There's a hidden structure here. So this is closely related to symmetries, this thing right here, symmetries of 4 points. There's something hidden in this picture, and there are 4 of them. And rearranging those 4 things gives me just about everything I need to know about the cube. So if you find this confusing, don't worry about it, and just think about what you can do to a cube. But there are 4 hidden things. There's a set of I'm sorry?
Can you use a different colored chalk?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, so for writing, maybe I'll... There are four things hidden inside here. And rearranging those four things describes the symmetries of the cube. So let's take a few more minutes, think about symmetries of some three-dimensional objects, and then we'll talk about the answer and move on to roots of polynomials. for the tetrahedron, I think people noticed you can take this and rotate it around. You can take this pyramid and rotate it around there. Or, and that gives you 12, because I could have chosen this corner and rotated the opposite triangle, or this corner and rotated the opposite triangle. So there's four choices, and then three rotations. And then I actually get twice that, because I also could have put... these things also have one of these reflection mirror things, right? If I imagine putting a mirror up against this guy, seeing one side will give me exactly the other side across the mirror. So here there are 24. There are 24 of them. There probably wasn't enough time, but does anyone know how many symmetries you get for their cube? The answer turns out to be 48. And you can see something in the picture, this hidden thing that I referred to, is the diagonals. There are four opposite pairs, which doesn't show up that well. But for a cube, there are four sets of opposite corners, right? So there are four diagonals in the cube. And rearranging those diagonals, that's four things, so I have 24 choices. That actually gives you all of the rotations. So there are 24. There are 24 rotations. And this shouldn't be obvious to you, but if you ever want to think about it, this is how the answer will work out. There are 24 things you get by rotating, and you can see them all by rearranging the diagonals. And then you get another 24. You can see this is a theme in all of these examples. By first doing a mirror image, so I could imagine putting a mirror through this guy. First mirror image, just like we flipped, we flipped a triangle, we mirror imaged it across some line, and then do all of your rotations. So I'll say 24 flip plus rotation. So these answers shouldn't be obvious to you, and we don't have enough time to go through all of them. But maybe something you might start to notice is symmetries of a lot of these shapes are built out of some amount of rotations, and then some kind of invert or mirror image, and then some rotations. That's a recurring theme for the triangle, the square, and these three-dimensional shapes. Okay, so now I'd like to talk a little bit about our second topic, namely roots. So if I draw, I'm going to draw some points in the plane, because I can. So I'm going to draw the roots, and we'll talk about what this means if you don't know. I'm going to draw the roots of this polynomial. We'll talk about what that means, so don't worry about it. But I want to point something out about them. If I ask you, do you see symmetries in this picture? Maybe this isn't quite the same meaning of symmetry as we've talked about before, but maybe it's related. Anyone have an idea? What's the symmetry of this picture? Does it look like there's some symmetry? Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. So if I imagine putting a mirror along here, then these two guys get flipped across, right? Oh, and you also set a symmetry across the y-axis, if I heard right. Okay, well, yeah, and the y-axis, right? If I put a mirror along here, then I also have that kind of symmetry, right? So this is, maybe I'll just draw something like, I mean, don't worry too much about what I mean by this, just to say, the roots of this polynomial, these points that I've drawn in the plane, there is some structure here, right? They come in pairs. And this kind of leads into this, people started to notice this historically, and that there's some sort of, you can get something out of this. Once you know that sort of symmetries rearrange roots of a polynomial, if you know some stuff, maybe you can get other stuff by knowing that there are symmetries. Go ahead. Oh,
well,
sorry.
If you imagine four more imaginary points like 0, root 3, 0, and 0, negative 9, root 3, there would be the flips of their respective opposites across the line y plus x and y equals negative x.
I see. So you're thinking there might be some other sort of. I lost track of which points, but you're saying there's some other points that maybe I could flip. Yeah, this is exactly the game we're going to start playing. That's exactly it. All right. So I've said a couple of words here that maybe people don't know those words, but there are other words that I bet you do know that mean the same thing. So let me just go over some quick vocabulary. If I have something like this, if I have a polynomial, roots or solutions, by this I mean numbers so that number squared minus 7 is 0. So if I have a polynomial, a root or a solution is some number I can plug in, and I get 0 on the other side. And by factoring, I mean, well, if I have a polynomial and I know the solutions, here they're the square root of 7 and negative the square root of 7. See, if I plug those in here, well, 7 minus 7, I would get 0. Factoring, once I know the roots, I can use that to rewrite my polynomial like this. So the thing I want to get across is that the three phrases find roots, so finding the roots of this polynomial, and finding solutions, and factoring all mean exactly the same thing. Okay, so if you have some polynomial, finding its solutions, finding its roots, finding and factoring it, those all mean the exact same thing. Right? Either I want to find numbers that give me 0, or I want to write it as a product like this, and that amounts to finding the roots also. So these three things all mean the exact same thing. Okay. So now, if you want to really study polynomials and solutions of them, you have to kind of move to a bigger world of numbers than some of you might be used to, although that some of you have seen it. So first of all, there's something that we write in mathematics Q with a line through it. And these are fractions, things like A over B. That lives inside a larger world of numbers that we call the real numbers. Right, R with an extra line. And this is kind of any decimal number. And by that I just mean the square root of 3. It turns out this is not a fraction. It's not possible to write the square root of 3 as a fraction. So here, things that are fractions of whole numbers live inside the world of any crazy thing, like the square root of 3 that I want to allow. But this lives inside an even bigger world of numbers, namely the complex numbers. And when I move from here to here, I really only allow one extra thing. Here, I'm going to invent this new number. So you know, negative 1 doesn't have a square root. I can't say x squared equals negative 1. Oh, then x equals something in the real numbers. But if I move to this bigger world, then if x squared is negative 1, x is I, or negative I. Okay, if you're not familiar with this, this might seem strange. I stands for imaginary, which is already kind of strange. But the only thing you have to realize is I've just thrown in this symbol. What do complex numbers look like? Something like 5 plus 7 times this new symbol I. So they're just pairs of familiar numbers, and one of them is decorated with an I. Okay, that's all that's going to matter for us. And you can visualize the complex numbers. So for example, 5 plus 7i, well, you can visualize it as a plane, and the numbers that you're used to, the real numbers, lie along here, along the x-axis. And then in the other direction is this crazy complex stuff. So a number like 5 plus 7i, well, here's its real part, 5. And then up here is the number 7i. And so 5 plus 7i lives right there in this picture. The number 2, real number 2, lives right there. Okay, so here's the number, real world of numbers that you've been used to since whenever we learn numbers. I don't remember myself. And then we're just throwing in this new direction. Now, one great question would be, why on earth are we doing this? And that's a great question to ask. You should always be asking, why am I doing this? And the reason is just that I just wrote down a completely random equation. No idea what this is. How many roots does this have? How many solutions does that polynomial have? Three, right? If I want to ask that question over real numbers, that's hard. I actually have no idea how many solutions this has. I don't know. But if I work in the world of complex numbers, it has three roots. We do this again. How many solutions does this have? Four, right? So the point of complex numbers is just now that we live in a world where this question is easy. How many roots? The question, how many roots, is easy. You just look at this number, the biggest power. That's all you have to know. So, okay. So, for example, now let's do x squared plus 1. Where do the roots of this live? Well, I need numbers. If I want to get x squared plus 1 equals 0, I need to find numbers that square to negative 1. That's exactly this crazy new number I that I've defined. It's the thing whose square is negative 1 at negative I. And if I draw that in this picture, there they are. Let me do another picture real quick. If I look at the roots of x cubed minus 2x squared plus 2x minus 4, don't worry about it, but if I draw its roots, here they are. Okay. So in these two examples, I've written down two polynomials, and I've drawn their roots for you in the complex plane, in this world of numbers right here. What do you notice about them? In these two pictures, what do you notice? Yeah, they're symmetrical how?
Along the real axis.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the world of real numbers along here, remember? These are sensible, familiar numbers. In either case, if I were to put a mirror along the x-axis, the roots up here flip down to roots down here. Everyone see that? Same thing right here. There's this guy sitting too, but he's sitting on the mirror. Things up here get flipped to things down here. And roots go to roots. So this is, you could say, a theorem. Roots come in mirror pairs across the real line. if ever I have a solution of an equation up here, there is one exactly on the other side down here. So if you were ever solving an equation, and like me, you don't like to have to do a lot of hard work, then if you find half the roots up here, you already know where the others are. You're done solving your equation. You've found all the solutions. And so this is exactly what I want to talk about for the second part. Earlier we just thought about abstractly symmetries of shapes. And now there's this question of, well, how do I find roots or solutions of a polynomial? And the fact is, there seems to be some structure. If I find some of them, I know there have to be others somewhere else. This is some hidden structure that you didn't know was there. So, let's see. So let me say, people pointed out one symmetry that's always here. If I put a mirror along the real axis, it takes one root to another root. Now let's talk about a general recipe for other symmetries in this setup. I want to find symmetries. This is what we'll talk about in the second half. I want to find symmetries of the complex plane that don't move any fractions. You'll notice that putting a mirror along here does that, right? Fractions all live inside the real line. So the mirror along here doesn't move any fractions. So the game in the second half will be, can I cook up symmetries of the complex plane that don't move fractions? Then, if, say, I don't know, square root of 7i is a root of some polynomial, then the symmetry applied to that, so maybe if it's a rotation or mirror thing, wherever this number goes is also a root. Okay, so let's do one more group thing before we take a break. And that is, I'll draw some roots for you, and you can think about what are the symmetries of the roots in this situation. So, don't worry about your. I mean, we're not actually going to be solving any polynomials. That's not much fun. We're going to be talking about the hidden structure of polynomials. That's much more fun. So here, I picked some insane ones, but the details here don't matter. Okay, so let's take a minute and talk about, in each of these cases, what do you think the symmetries of those points should be? Which ones should I maybe be allowed to rearrange, and which ones shouldn't be moving anywhere, thinking about this general recipe? So take a second and think about it. You'll probably have questions. Please ask them. This will lead us to a really great idea in the second half. So let's talk. the roots kind of, they form an equilateral triangle. They look like they're closely related. So this is all I want you to, I mean, this is what I want people to get out of this picture, just that sometimes they don't appear to come in pairs, and other times it looks like roots come in pairs. Here they seem to come in a family of a triangle. So we'll talk about how you can see these patterns and how you can think about them. So the general recipe is a very hard idea. So if this doesn't make sense to you, don't worry about it. Just think about these pictures. So maybe we should take a break now, and then when we come back, we'll think about this idea slowly and carefully. So, and I'll be up here if you want to talk about anything. If I have a kind of, right, so I can kind of rotate it one direction.
Yeah, there's only like three axes that you could rotate.
Right. Right, so this is a good question, and it's confusing. So,
well, it comes up with the same answer, and so...
Right, yeah, so just... I mean, answer I thought about it for a long time. But so there are four, so I said there are only four diagonals, right? So if I pick two diagonals, say this one and this one,
right.
I now want to swap them. So how do I do that? It looks like if I rotate, so two rotations will do that.
Right.
And why is that all of them? Well, a rotation should be determined by... maybe this is the point. If you know you're only... a rotation should be determined by what it does on...
the entire figure as a whole.
Yeah, but really you only need to know a couple of them.
Okay.
Right? Like, you might... like, if I'm allowed to... yeah, like for this, for example, if I'm thinking of a simpler question of just a square or a triangle. If I know I'm only doing rotations and not allowing flips, then there's something... then kind of... I only need to go where a single corner goes, and then I know everything about it.
Okay.
Right, so like inversion is this trickier thing where you need more information, but like I only need to know a very little bit, and so maybe that's how I try to think about it. There's no wrong way to think about it. All right. All right. Let's continue some. So in order to see... so what we're mostly going to be focusing on, when we played with shapes, we had kind of two kinds of symmetry that we saw in each one, right? You could rotate things, or you could flip things. Those are the sorts of things we saw. Now, not worrying too much about details, in these two examples, here there are these two, there are kind of pairs of points that look like I can, maybe that they're related by a flip. People notice that if you put a mirror here, things up and above and below are related by a flip. And if you look at this polynomial, x cubed plus 2, its roots form an equilateral triangle. So you might think, oh, maybe there's some sort of a rotation thing happening here. And so I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the kind of rotational symmetry that you see for some polynomials. And, I mean, not every... this won't always happen, but just like with the square... you know, we built all the symmetries out of rotations and flips. And in a similar sense, you can kind of build a lot of symmetries out of these basic building blocks. Go ahead.
For the cube root of, for x cubed plus 2, how do you express the cube root of -1?
The cube root, the cube root of -1, that actually turns out to be -1, right? If I multiply -1 by itself 3 times, -1 times -1 is +1, times negative, it's -1 again. So yeah, this is kind of a funny thing. Like, why am I in the world of complex numbers? It's so that I could take the square root of a negative number. That was this new thing that I could do. And that's true also of fourth root. But for odd roots, actually, a cube root, a fifth root, I don't need complex numbers to do that. I can take odd roots of negative numbers without difficulty. So that's actually totally okay. Okay, so let me tell you... a trick with complex numbers. So, or if I have these numbers look something like two numbers you're familiar with, and one of them is just decorated with this funny symbol I. And I also said, like, how do I draw this? Well, there's the 5 part, and there's the 7i part, and there's my number. That's where I picture it living. If I have some other one, so my point here is complex numbers, we talked about how to picture them as points in a plane. They're kind of just pairs of numbers, so it's kind of like a point in the plane. If I want to multiply them, if you know complex, this is some weird formula, right? This is it's confusing and it's also tedious. But the trick here is that you don't have to do the annoying complicated multiplication thing. This is just a simple picture. Here, there's an angle, and there's a length. Maybe I'll call this theta at 1 and this L1. And here, there's another angle and another length. How do I multiply them? Well, blah, 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 there's some formula. But if you just focus on the picture, there's a new angle for this new number, whatever the product is. It has some angle. You just add the two angles. It has some length. And I multiply them. But really, we're not really going to care about this. If you want to impress your friends later for a nice way to multiply complex numbers, here it is. But all I want to get across is if I multiply two complex numbers, well, each one has some angle because it's a sitting in the plane. The product, you just add those two angles. Okay? So let's see that in an example and see how to use it and see some symmetries from it. So I want to find roots of x cubed minus 1. That's the same thing as saying I want to solve x cubed minus 1 equals 0. Can anyone think of one solution? Yeah, 1. Great. OK, so here we found one solution. If there's some other solution, so if there's some other root, it'll have some angle associated to it, right? It'll be sitting somewhere with an angle. But I know that this number, if I cube it, I want to get 1. Right? If this is supposed to solve this equation, I want to say that my number cubed, if I cube a number, what happens to its angle? If I take this number, if I take some number and multiply by itself 3 times, what's the new angle? I start with an angle theta. Yeah, so if I cube it, I'm multiplying it by itself 3 times. Multiplying means add angles. Okay? So this is three times theta. But concretely, in this picture, what do I want out of this? I want to get angle 0. Right? I want an angle so that when I triple it, I get back down to angle 360 or 0. What angle has that property?
Angle 120.
120, which lives over here. What's another angle that has that property? Yeah, 240 is the other one. If you triple 240, you'll get 720, which is also 0, right? So right here, so if this general stuff confuses you, don't worry about it. The point is only that x cubed minus 1 what's the angle between the roots? It's 360 divided by 3. Why? Because multiplying means add angles. When I multiply 3 times, I'm going to triple the angle. So that means the angle between the roots is 120. Okay? Now, maybe to help you digest that, we'll let you think about a couple of examples. If you think about, draw the roots of, I mean, don't find the numbers. That would be weird to write down. But let's all take a second to think about, can you draw the roots of these two polynomials using this idea? And let me write up a hint, if I can do it still. Okay. So let's take a few minutes and make sure everyone's comfortable with this idea of figuring out what the angle should be. So let's all draw the roots of those two polynomials. Go ahead. Is there a question?
What?
Oh, David.
What?
Sorry. Go ahead and think about it. I'll come down and talk to you. And remember, talking to each other is highly encouraged.
Where did you get the 20? Is that just because it's the exponent?
Yes. Right, so, go ahead.
How do you know these are roots of it? Because I know that's the multiplication, but what does the multiplication have to do with finding roots?
Right, so I want to. So finding roots means solve x cubed minus 1 equals 0, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to find a number that when I triple it, or sorry, not when I triple it, when I cube it, I get back to 1. So what are two things that are going to have to happen for that to work out? Well, okay, something about the length has to be correct, but let's not worry about that. The angle has to have the property that if I triple it, right? Because multiplication of the numbers corresponds to adding the angles.
Oh, multiplication of numbers. So if you multiply it by itself 3 times, I get it.
Awesome.
So are we supposed, and we don't have to find the length?
Yeah, no, don't worry about the length. Do not worry about the length. Just,
okay.
Yeah. Great. How's it going? We've drawn some points. Do you know where I might find the roots of x to the fourth minus 1? Okay, so I have to figure out what number I'm going to put in place of x, right? I want that to be some number. Well, okay, when I raise it to the fourth power, I'm supposed to get 1, right? Because then I'll have 1 minus 1. Okay, well, what number, can you think of any number that when I raise it to the fourth power, I get 1?
Can it be negative 1?
Negative 1 is, yes, that's one of them, right? Another is just positive 1, also true. Okay, so here and here, Blaine, can you think of another? If you were to guess, where would it be in the picture? Just where would it sit in the picture? Don't worry about what it is, but where would it sit in the picture? Yeah, right, halfway between them. So this number, okay, doesn't move. Negative 1 gets flipped to here. Yeah, there's a number up here. So this was 180 degrees. So the one in between is 90 degrees. And that's what I mean by 360 divided by 4 is 90. If I want to solve x to the 4th minus 1 equals 0, the angle that I'm looking for is 360 divided by 4. That's 90. Okay. So now, where do you think the roots of x to the 5th minus 1 will sit? Let me back up. Why don't you draw in the plane for the 4 roots of x to the 4th minus 1? Don't worry about what they are. They're complex numbers. You don't have to know it. But you might draw them, just where they're sitting, and then think about x to the 5th.
Hey. The length stays the same, definitely.
If their length's 1, yes.
Oh,
Right, because...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I to the 4th would be 1 because I squared is yep. negative 1 squared again.
Exactly. Yep. How's it going?
Oh, good.
Good?
Yeah.
I'm just watching.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the only... Yeah. Finding the numbers... Not important. There's kind of a picture, right? That there's that there's 90 degrees between them. That's all I want to get across. Okay, and I'll draw them in a second.
Yeah, it's 5 feet a bit more complex.
Yes, that's true. How's it going?
So 90.
Perfect.
So
yes.
Maybe just 360 divided by the biggest power.
Yes. Yeah.
But what would happen if there was more than one? If it was x to the fourth minus x to the third?
Right. Then this is much trickier, and it gets more complicated. But, I mean. Yeah, just like the symmetries of the cube were more complicated, right? Somehow it was still built out of rotation. So when you have something more complicated, maybe it's still built out of these simpler pieces. Yeah, so your 90 degrees is exactly right, but you know where are all four of them going to be? Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then see if you can draw all five of the other one, just so there's a nice picture. Okay, so let's think about this picture for a second. Finding the numbers themselves, I don't want to think about it at all. We're not here to solve polynomials. We're just here to think about about some underlying hidden structure. So x to the fourth minus 1. Multiplication means adding angles. So the angle between them should be 360. Divided by 4, so I get 90 degrees between them. And so without doing any work, any real work, other than this division, I see where are the four solutions situated. Okay, well, I knew that 1 was an easy one. That's going to solve it. 1 to the 4th minus 1. And the others come from a 90-degree rotation. Okay? If you want a fancy word, these are called cyclotomic things, but don't worry about it. X to the fifth minus 1, well, now there should be 360 divided by 5 is 72 degrees between my solutions. Just like before, I noticed that 1 happens to be an easy one. The next one is some insane number. I have no idea what that point is, but I know almost exactly, I can draw them. I know they're related by 72 degrees. That gives me 5 guys. And I draw a pentagon. So there's a pentagon of roots for x to the fifth minus 1. Okay? These two pictures are the central thing that I want to get across, that there's some sort of a rotation symmetry. There's a rotation symmetry for these solutions. Do people have questions about this picture or what we're saying here? Okay, so let me ask you two questions. Well, Where are the roots of all right, so right here, I've drawn the roots of x to the fourth minus 1. Let's talk about two closely related questions, and then we'll see how to put this together into a really nice picture. Q, draw the roots of x to the eighth minus 1 and x to the fourth plus 1. And let me do some arithmetic for you. And then think about maybe where these should be. Again, you shouldn't have to actually solve anything. We're just thinking about rotating angles and where the points should be. OK, great. Give that some thought. We'll come around and think about it.
Roots of x raised to the power of 4 plus 1, that would be a simple one.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm seeing a good shape.
3. So x cubed minus 1, one of the roots is x is equal to 1.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Now, do you see, a second ago we did this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that this kind of lives inside there?
Yeah.
Right? That's four of the other points.
Yeah.
So now, hint, hint. What's the next? So there's another guy, x to the fourth plus 1. That'll be some other points. So here, before, what was I thinking about? I wanted to find angles. So for example, x to the fourth minus 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want an angle so that when I quadruple it,
yeah,
I get back to 0, right?
Yeah.
If I want to solve x to the fourth plus 1, I'm now looking for an angle. If I quadruple it, what do I want to get? Well, I want to get, so x to the fourth has to be negative 1 to solve that, right?
Yeah.
So now, if I want to take this angle, I quadruple it, I want to get 180, right? Negative 1 is the other direction.
Yes. So you're rotated.
Yeah, so see if you can draw that picture and see if you can see how they fit together with the other guys. How's it going?
So how do you draw the x to the fourth plus 1?
Ah, great question. So what were we doing before with x to the fourth minus 1? Okay, well, I wanted a number where x to the fourth is positive 1, right? That's what we were thinking about.
So you can't have a negative distance.
Can you repeat what you said?
That's absolutely true. But let's just think about the angles first. So now I want x to the fourth to be negative 1, right? Well,
so
what angle is what angle in the complex plane is the number negative 1?
Sorry. So when I asked what numerical value meant, what did you say?
That's 90. I is up here. That's 90 degrees, right?
Okay.
Negative 1 is down here. It's 180. So now I want to find angles where quadrupling them, instead of getting me 360, gives me 180. Yeah. So that'll be there'll be four of them. It'll be some other square. It'll be closely related to that picture and to this picture.
So
see if you can think about where that'll land.
Yeah. So, for example, if you want,
how's it going? Great. Awesome. Cool. So do you see if the answer that we had down here kind of lives inside this one? Yeah. You see, like this. This is kind of a square. It sits inside the octagon as four of those points. So now, it's related to this next question. Where do you think x to the fourth plus 1 might sit? Well, okay. Maybe it's not obvious, but let me see. What were we doing a second ago? If I want to figure out x to the fourth minus 1, I want an angle so that when I quadruple it, I get 360. That's what we were doing, right? That's because I wanted x to the fourth to be 1, which is 360 degrees. It's that direction. Now I want to get negative 1, right? I want x to the fourth to be negative 1. That's 180 degrees. So now I want angles that when I quadruple them, I get 180 divided by 4. Yeah. So for example, one of them is 45 degrees. There are three others. How's it going?
Good.
I see. I see an octagon. Good. There's no wrong way to.
No wrong way.
Yeah. No. So yeah, those angles are definitely right. If you have just one plus I, I think that'll be too long. So you'd want to shrink it a little bit. But yeah. So not worrying about the length. That's exactly the right. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So let's talk real quick about how these pictures fit together. Here, I had a square for x to the fourth minus 1. I think everyone got for x to the eighth minus 1, I have an octagon. Oh, dear. Well, okay, I practiced drawing octagons, and I'm still not good at it, but what's the point? I need 45 degrees between them, right? This is 45 degrees. I know that 1 is a solution. I go 45 degrees up for the next one. I do it again, and I get 8 points just like this. Right? Do people see a relationship between this picture and that picture? How's that? Those 4 points. Are actually those 4 corners. So that square lives inside this octagon. That reflects the fact that reflects this equation. This is the picture we had a second ago. That's the square, the yellow square. And this is the octagon. So now here's why I asked this other question. What's x to the fourth plus 1? Does anyone know what it looks like? Anyone figure out where x to the fourth plus 1 lives? Well, now I want to figure out an angle theta so that when I quadruple it, I get not 360 like we had before. I want to get 180, right? I want x to the fourth to be negative 1. Which means that if I quadruple the angle, I want to get 180. Well, 180 divided by 4 is 45. So here's 1. Let's maybe do this in pink. Here's 1, 2, 3, 4. So once I know that one of them lives right here, I still know there's 90 degrees between them. So 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees, 90 degrees. And I get this pink square. Can you see that in this picture also? So you see, you also see this thing that we talked about earlier, that if I put a mirror along this line, all the roots up here exactly correspond to roots down here. And the decomposition of this octagon into this square and this square is exactly this equation. So this also kind of suggests, if I need to understand, I mean, so I had some great questions about, we're talking about something really simple, like x to a power minus 1. What if I had x to the cubed minus x squared minus 1? Well, this is complicated. Like, this is much more complicated. You might have to do other work. But how do you attack a hard problem, at least if you're, I think everywhere, you break it down into easier problems, right? How do I understand this complicated thing? I can break it down into 2 easier things. If I know each of those, then I can assemble them into that answer. Okay, that's the kind of idea. And let me end by, doing a small talking a little bit about history for this sort of thing. So the way that you got your PhD or got a faculty job in mathematics in Renaissance Italy was you figured out how to solve really hard polynomials. But something that was different was that if you figured out how to solve hard polynomials, you didn't tell anyone. You kept it a secret. You didn't tell people how to do it. The reason was the way you got a job was you showed up for the job interview and they just said, like, you know, solve that polynomial. And if you were one of the people who had figured out the secret to solving a quartic equation, you could get a job. If you weren't, then you couldn't. So, I mean, this is a... Duck him? Ah. Hopefully... Do I have something? No. So, I'll bet everyone here has learned the quadratic equation. Quadratic formula. It's on. Right, so I'll bet everyone knows the quadratic formula, and it'll be up there in a second. Does anyone know the cubic formula? Yeah, I'd be surprised. Oh, great, thank you. As before, I probably don't know. Okay, so I'll bet everyone learned the quadratic formula at some point. You know, people figured this out a long time ago. I think I've met very few people in my life who have memorized the cubic formula, but I printed it out for you. There it is, the three roots of a cubic. And there's even some, it's actually even slightly more complicated than this shows you. But, okay, so a couple of the Renaissance people had figured this out, and this is a closely held secret. And, well, then, of course, the next round of job interviews required finding, well, solving a quartic. So this is degree 3, it's a cubic. A quartic is degree 4. I had the hardest time printing this out, and I was unsuccessful. But I can at least give you a sense for how long it is. Wikipedia has this formula for you if you want. But so, this is insanely, insanely complicated and is just absolutely no, I mean, you know, no human knows this. Well, so then what's the next question you might ask? What's the next thing? Yeah, is there a formula for a quintic polynomial if you have the fifth power of something? And a really smart fellow by the name of Galois came up with an idea for understanding this, and it's exactly these symmetries of polynomials. He found a way to translate everything you want to know, everything you want to know about a quadratic, so degree 2, is a question about this symmetry groups of 2 points, rearranging 2 points. Everything you want to know about a cubic is a question about the symmetries of 3 points, just rearranging 3 points. A quartic, rearranging 4 points, and a quintic is about rearranging 5 points. And using that idea, what he showed is that it's actually impossible. There is no quintic formula. There is no formula for degree 5 or higher. And how do you show that? How could you show that no formula exists? How could you possibly argue that? Well, you have to translate it into the language of symmetries. We saw that some symmetries can live inside other symmetries, right? Symmetries of some objects lived inside symmetries of others. And existence of a formula, like being able to write down a formula, the square root of something plus square root of something, square root of something, square root of something, that corresponds to being able to realize symmetries of your object as built out of symmetries of small things. I start out with a really simple thing, make it a little bigger, make it a little bigger, and this sort of decomposition of symmetries is how you build a formula. That's how you can build this formula, understanding symmetries of polynomials, and building it up piece by piece. And he showed that the symmetries of 5 points and higher is fundamentally different from the first 4. They don't have the property called being solvable. Exactly for this historical reason. So, by understanding the symmetries of polynomials, he was able to show that there is no quintic formula, and that people who had been trying to do it had been wasting their time for 400 years. All right, so, on that note, I want to end and stick around for a little bit to answer any questions that you have, but thanks for coming.
Flyer on your way out if you didn't get one. But thanks so much for coming out this afternoon. Have a good day.